All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we'll continue to learn about trust in Allah, and the title of the class is Way to Reassurance. We must all agree that when someone is afflicted by difficulty and hardship, he is easily lost in despair, unless he trusts Allah and hopes to receive Allah's mercy. It is when one truly relies on Allah that he feels that the hardship will give way to what is better. This makes it clear that trust in Allah is the way to reassurance and peace in the most difficult times. Now, inshallah, we will read about this fact from Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, from verse 66 to 68. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربكم الذي يزجي لكم الفلك في البحر لتبتغوا من فضله إنه كان بكم رحيما وإذا مسكم الضر في البحر ضل من تدعون إلا إياه فلما نجاكم إلى البر أعرضتم وكان الإنسان كفورا أفأمنتم أن يخسف بكم جانب البر أو يرسل عليكم حاصبا ثم لا تجدوا لكم وكيلا.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Your Lord is He who drives the ship for you through the sea, in order that you may seek of His bounty. Truly He is ever most merciful towards you. And when harm touches you upon the sea, those that you call upon vanish from you except Him, Allah alone. But when He brings you safe to land, you turn away from Him, and man is ever ungrateful. Do you then feel secure that He will not cause a side of the land to swallow you up, or that He will not send against you a violent sandstorm? Then you shall find no wakil, guardian, one to guard you from the torment.
So actually, sisters, we must all agree that human beings are subject to Allah's will at every place and time, on the land and at the sea. How can they feel secure against Allah's will? How can they feel secure that they will not be overwhelmed by any natural phenomena, for example, a tornado, which may destroy them before they can receive any help from anyone, or Allah may let them return to the sea and then send a violent hurricane which can destroy their ships? How can they feel secure against any of these events? It is only Allah who can save them and remove their hardship. Accordingly, we must agree that safety and security can't be guaranteed at the sea or on the land. Safety and security can only be ascertained with Allah's protection. Okay, so actually, sisters, we must all the time remember that the one who is taking care of us is Allah the Almighty, and we cannot feel secure because we are not in the sea or we don't have a storm. Nobody knows what can happen after a moment. So safety and security are only related to Allah's protection. Because Allah is our wakil. Wakil means the one entrusted to be in charge. Also, the one who helps and protects. When you put your trust in Allah, He will never leave you alone. Allah is the most merciful, and He takes care of all our affairs. Even if the things which don't go according to the plan. We will recite now from Surah number 14, verse number 11 and 12 to know about these facts regarding Allah's help and protection. Surah number 14, Surah Ibrahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will recite from verse 11 and 12. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالت لهم رسلهم إن نحن إلا بشر مثلكم ولكن الله يمن على من يشاء من عباده وما كان لنا أن نأتيكم بسلطان إلا بإذن الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون وما لنا ألا نتوكل على الله وقد هدانا سبلنا ولنصبرن على ما آذيتمونا وعلى الله فليتوكل المتوكلون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Their messengers said to them, "We are more than human beings like you, but Allah bestows His grace to whom He wills of His slaves. It is not ours to bring you an authority, proof, except by the permission of Allah. And in Allah alone let the believers put their trust. And why should we not put our trust in Allah, while He indeed has guided us our ways? And we shall certainly bear with patience all the hurt you may cause us. And in Allah alone let those who trust put their trust."
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So, actually, sisters, regarding having trust in Allah, we must know that trust in Allah requires training. Okay? We are human, and every now and then we feel uncertain. So, at that difficult moment, take a dose of trust of Allah. That is to say, remind yourself that Allah loves you and He will do the best for you as you are an obedient servant to Him. So, let us now learn more from the Holy Quran about the importance of having trust in Allah. We will learn from the coming verses of the Quran that Allah the Almighty commanded the believers to have trust in Him in all their acts. Whatever act you do, you must have trust in Allah and you must depend on Allah and rely on Him. We will start by knowing that belief in Allah's oneness is also commanded with having trust in Allah. We will recite now from Surah number 42, verse number 36, to know that Allah commanded us to have trust in Him while we are believer in His oneness. Surah number 42, verse number 36. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 36. فما أوتيتم من شيء فمتاع الحياة الدنيا فمتاع الحياة الدنيا وما عند الله خير وأبقى للذين آمنوا على ربهم يتوكلون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So whatever you have been given is but a passing enjoyment for this worldly life. But that which is with Allah, paradise, is better and more lasting for those who believe in the oneness of Allah, Islamic monotheism, and put their trust in their Lord concerning all of their affairs. And those who...
Okay. So this is the relation between the belief in Allah's oneness and putting your trust in Allah in all your affairs. Actually, a believer who knows Allah's attributes is certain that no one does anything unless through Allah's will. And nothing occurs without Allah's command, so his trust in Allah is complete. The more you know about Allah's attributes, the more you are sure that everything is up to Allah's will. Accordingly, you will put all your trust in Allah. Okay, now we will learn Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim about worship of Allah and having trust in Allah from Surah number 11, verse number 123. The importance of having trust in Allah while you worship Allah alone. Surah number 11, Surah Hud, verse number 123. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 123 ولله غيب السماوات والأرض وإليه يرجع الأمر كله فاعبده وتوكل عليه وما ربك بغافل عما تعملون. صدق الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And to Allah belongs the ghaib, unseen, of the heavens and the earth, and to Him return all affairs for decision. So worship Him, O Muhammad, and put your trust in Him, and your Lord is not unaware of what you, people, do.
Okay. So actually this is a command from Allah the Almighty to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to all the Muslims to worship Allah as they are commanded and to put their trust in Him. If you are a true worshipper of Allah, you must put your trust in Him because this is a command from Allah. Obey the commands of Allah, be a sincere believer, then leave it all to Allah, the Almighty, the Most Merciful. Now we will learn about judging in this disputes and its relation with having trust in Allah from Surah number 42, verse number 10. Surah number 42, verse number 10. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وما اختلفتم فيه من شيء فحكمه إلى الله ذلكم الله ربي عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And in whatsoever you differ, the decision thereof is with Allah. He is the ruling judge, and say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, to these polytheists, such is Allah, my Lord, in whom I put my trust, and to him I turn in all of my affairs and in repentance.
So actually, sister, this is the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is clarifying that he is believing in Allah, his Lord, and he is clarifying that upon Allah he had relied, and to Allah he is sure that he will turn back. So this is the advice or the statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people around him. Okay, and actually this verse of the Quran is teaching us the following: everything over which dispute arises between people should be judged by Allah. Allah has made His judgment clear in the Holy Quran. Accordingly, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying that he had placed his trust in Allah and he will return to Allah, believing that Allah is the Lord who provides everything and He guides him to what is best. Okay, we must all the time believe in this. Whatever blessings we are looking for, whatever goals we are looking for, it is only through Allah the Almighty for these goals and blessings to reach us. Accordingly, when this fact is established in our heart, okay, everything will be clear in front of us. Okay, you will be all the time confident, you will be reassured, and you will know your way. Why? Because you don't have doubt regarding who can help me, who can take care of me, to whom I am supposed to ask, from whom I am supposed to ask help. If it is clear to me that I rely totally on Allah, so my only way is Allah. Okay, this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying. Okay, that he is putting all his trust in Allah, and he is sure that Allah will take care of him and protect him. Okay? So whenever we have any dispute, when any dispute arises, let us return to the rules of the Holy Quran, and let us, after knowing the rules, let us follow the rules and rely on Allah and have trust in Allah, that inshallah Allah will bring the good to us. Okay? We will continue to learn about acts in life and its relation to trust in Allah, and we will learn about consultation and its relation with trust in Allah from Surah number 3, verse number 159. الله الرحمن الرحيم فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And by the mercy of Allah you dealt with him gently, and had you, Muhammad peace be upon him, been severe and harsh hearted, they would have broken away from about you. So pass over their faults and ask Allah's forgiveness for them and consult them in the affairs. Then when you have taken a decision, put your trust in Allah. Certainly Allah loves those who put their trust in Him.
So actually, sisters, this is the rule of consultation, is to be aware of all the different points of view. So again, rule of consultation, be aware of all the different points of view of all the people, then to select a particular course of action which is agreed upon by the majority. Okay? Allah, out of His knowledge, He knows that for the maturity of a nation, consultation must be practiced in all matters, and the consequences of the decision must be accepted. For example, you know, if we are 7 or 8 sisters and we want to know about a decision regarding coming on the Monday, which is the 3rd day of Eid, or cancelling the class. Okay? So we must ask the point of view of every sister, and then we can judge according to the number, how many they are looking for coming, we want to come, and how many they don't want to come. Then it is up to the majority. Okay, and all of us must agree for that point of view and accept that point of view, okay, and put it in action. Okay, none is supposed to say, no, I'm still having my point of view, this was a wrong decision. No.
To fight about it.
Yes.
Fighting.
No fighting at all.
Yes.
You know, actually Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the Muslim community the lesson of consultation. Because he always consulted his companions in everything, and whatever decision they reached, he will accept that decision even if it is not his own decision. You know, this is for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also gave it a second lesson. He gave the people a second lesson. Once a decision is taken, there should be no room for hesitation. Instead, they must put all the trust in Allah and submit to Allah's will, believing that the ultimate authority belongs to Allah and He does what He chooses. Okay, so this is very important regarding the consultation, even for the family issues. Okay, if you have a point of view and your husband is having a point of view, you must listen to the two different points of view, even if they are opposite each other.
Right.
You must listen. And then, okay, since he is the husband, it is his point of view. Why? His point of view must be the one valid, because he will be responsible for the consequences of his point of view. Okay, suppose you want to stay in Houston and he wants to move back to Florida, for example.
Right.
Okay, and you feel that Houston is better because of the schools, because of the masjids, because of the friends, but His point of view is that Florida's better, maybe because of the weather, because of his job, whatever. Okay? So when you have totally different points of view, okay, in Islam, it will be the point of view or the decision which will be valid is the decision of the husband. Why? Because if he, for example, decided to move to Florida, and then in Florida it was not what he expected, he must take care of the family and support the family, okay, and provide for the family. Okay, so he must pay the price for his decision. Okay, but if it is the wife whom she is not working, yeah, okay, and she is not the one who is supposed to provide for the family, she cannot follow the consequences of her decision. Okay, suppose you tell him, no, we want to stay in Houston. Mm-hmm. Then he followed your point of view or your decision and he stayed in Houston, then he lost his job. So what will be the solution now? You cannot tell him, go and work in Houston. He will tell you, no, it is your decision. Now, find the solution. You see? So this will cause a lot of troubles. But if he is the husband and he is the one supposed to provide for the family and to take care of the family and to protect the family, let his point of view be valid and let him be the one responsible for his for the consequences of his point of view.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, our mother who's a widow.
Okay.
And right now the house belongs in her name.
Yes.
It's paid off.
Yes.
There's four sisters, four of us. Okay. I'm the youngest of four girls.
Okay.
Now, we found out that the best thing to do after my mother passes on is for her to make us all trustees of the estate.
Yes.
Otherwise, we won't be able to
sell it. Yes.
After she's gone.
Okay.
Three of us want to do that.
Okay.
One of us does not.
What's her point of view?
Her point of view is that she feels that that we are doing it too soon, too premeditated, that We're not quite sure what the real reasoning behind it is.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense to us.
Okay.
We think maybe she's wants to have another plan with
yes,
the house.
Yes, I understand.
We don't know, but anyway, it's okay. She's not in agreement.
Oh.
So what would be the best approach in this situation?
Actually, if you were all Muslim, the best, this
problem.
Is not the situation. Okay, the only one. Okay, actually, you know, the best approach is to try to be gentle with her. Okay, and to talk to her in a nice way because she can stop everything.
She is stopping everything.
You see, she's stopping everything.
Without her, we can't make a decision.
You cannot make any decision, yes, without her. So the only way is to try to convince her that if she's making troubles now regarding your decision, the decision of the three of you, you will also make trouble for her because you are three. If she has another plan, which is hiding, she is hiding her own plan. Okay, right. Under the impression that, you know, she will push you to agree at a time. But you must clarify to her that so long you don't agree with us, we will never agree with you, and we will be all losers. The house will be still.
That's what's going to happen.
You know, this is what will happen.
If we try to explain, if we don't do...
Continue to learn about the relation between the trust in Allah, and now we will learn about the contractual agreement. Contractual agreement. We will recite now from Surah Yusuf, Surah number 12, verse number 67. Surah number 12, verse number Rahman al-Rahim. يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إن الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون صدق الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And he said, O my sons, do not enter by one gate, but enter by different gates, and I cannot avail you against Allah at all. Verily, the decision rests only with Allah. In Him I put my trust, and let all those that trust put their trust in Him.
So actually, sisters, in this verse of the Holy Quran, actually it was mentioned on the tongue of Prophet Jacob, and he was giving these instructions to his sons. Now we will pause on the statement, decision rests with none but Allah, or his decision is only for Allah. Actually, In this statement, Allah is referring to fate, okay? Which is Allah's judgment from which there is no escape. This is Allah's will, which will be done no matter what people do to prevent it. This is Allah's will, which is done and people have no choice but to submit to it. The clear belief in Allah's will is the reason behind the next statement. In Him have I placed my trust. Prophet Jacob chose to put his trust in Allah as an expression of his belief that all matters and affairs are controlled by Allah's will. Okay, actually regarding this verse of the Quran, Prophet Jacob, he has 10 sons. Okay, he has totally 12. Okay, he has 10 plus Prophet Yusuf and his son and his brother Benjamin. Yusuf and Benjamin were from another mother than the other 10. These 10, they were actually planning to go to meet Prophet Yusuf. And they were supposed to enter from one Bismillah gate. Okay, he was worried that anyone can give them an envious eye, because they are 10 young men. So he commanded them or advised them not to enter from one gate, so that they can avoid the envious eye. Okay? But he said at the end, judgment or decision is only for Allah. Upon Him I have relied, and upon Him let those who would rely. Okay? So he put his trust in Allah, but he is also trying the resources or the means. Okay, don't enter from one door so that you will avoid the envious eye, but put your trust in Allah.
Yeah.
Okay? Now we will learn also, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, about repentance and trust in Allah. We will learn from Surah number 11, verse number 88. Surah number 11, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 88. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 1188 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي ورزقني منه رزقا حسنا وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه إن أريد إلا الإصلاح ما استطعت وما توفيقي إلا بالله عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. He said, O my people, tell me if I have a clear evidence from my Lord, and He has given me a good sustenance from Himself. Shall I corrupt it by mixing it with the unlawfully earned money? I wish not, in contradiction to you, to do that which I forbid you. I only desire reform to the best of my power, and my guidance cannot come except from Allah. In Him I trust, and to Him I repent.
So actually, these are the words of Prophet Shu'aib. Okay, Prophet Shu'aib is clarifying to his people that his success depends only on Allah. Okay, and he is clarifying that he had put his trust in Allah, and to Allah he always returned. Okay, accordingly, he is clarifying that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah alone can grant the success. Okay, he is clarifying that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, my success is not but through Allah. Okay, my success is not but through Allah. Upon Him I have relied, and to Him I return. So again, this is Prophet Shu'aib is clarifying that he is repenting to Allah the Almighty, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he is putting his trust in Allah. We will learn about acceptance of Allah's decree and its relation to trust in Allah. We will recite from Surah number 39, verse number 38. Surah number 39, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Numbers 39 verse number 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله قل أفرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله إن أرادني الله بضر هل هن كاشفات ضره أو أرادني برحمة هل هن ممسكات رحمته قل حسبي الله عليه يتوكل المتوكلون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And verily if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, surely they will say, Allah has created them. Say, tell me then the things that you invoke besides Allah. If Allah intended some harm for me, could they remove his harm? Or if he, Allah, intended some mercy for me, could they withhold his mercy? Say, sufficient for me is Allah. In him, those who trust, believers, must put their trust.
Okay. So actually, sisters, let us have the meaning of this verse of the Quran so that inshallah it will give you, the trust in Allah, the Almighty. Actually, when you ask every reasonable human being who creates the heavens and the earth, they would state that Allah is the creator of the heavens and earth. No human being can say anything else. No rational being could explain the existence of the heavens and the earth except through a supreme power. Now we will have the proof from the Holy Quran, from the same surah, surah number 39, verse number 62. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 62 from the same surah. Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله خالق كل شيء وهو على كل شيء وكيل.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah is the creator of all things and he is the wakil, trustee, disposer of affairs, guardian over all things.
So actually this is the proof that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Let us answer the next logic questions, which are, can anyone anywhere in the heavens and the earth remove harm from anyone? If Allah wills that harm to afflict that person, the answer of this question is in Surah number 10, verse number 107. To answer that question, we will recite from Surah number 10, Surah Yunus, verse number 107. I will repeat the question again. Can anyone anywhere in the heavens and the earth remove harm from anyone? If Allah wills that harm to afflict that person, the answer is بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And if Allah touches you with harm, there is none who can remove it but He. And if He intends any good for you, there is none who can repel His favor which He causes it to reach whomsoever of His slaves He wills. And He is the oft forgiving, the most merciful.
So actually the answer is that none in the heavens and the earth can remove harm from anyone if Allah wills that harm to afflict that person. The second question is, can anyone withhold mercy from anyone if Allah wishes it to be bestowed on that person? The answer of that question is in Surah number 35, Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, verse number 2. Verse number 2. Surah number 35, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse number 2. ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده وهو العزيز الحكيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Whatever of mercy, example of good, Allah may grant to mankind, none can withhold it. And whatever He may withhold, none can grant it thereafter. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise.
So actually, sisters, the answer of the question is that none can withhold the mercy from anyone if Allah wishes that mercy to be bestowed on that person. Accordingly, sisters, every one of us must question herself, why should I fear anything? Why should I have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim worry regarding anything? I must be sure that all the matters are up to Allah and none can interfere with Allah's decree. And when this fact is actually firmly planted in the believer's heart, there is always the reassurance and the mental peace. In conclusion, the only fear or hope such a believer may have is related to not to what comes from Allah, because all what comes from Allah is inshallah good. I always have fear regarding my deeds. I always have the fear regarding following the right path. I always have fear regarding obeying the commands of Allah. This is the only fear which the believer is supposed to have. The fear not to be a good obedient servant to Allah. A fear that I am not following the right path. I am not doing the good deeds. I am not obeying the commands of Allah. Other than this, I am not supposed to have any fear or worry regarding any of the events of this worldly life, because everything is only up to Allah. And so long I am an obedient servant to Allah, Allah inshallah will shower me with His mercy. And even if there is hardship, there is always ease with every hardship. Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we must all the time have the reassurance that judgment rests with none but Allah. As we just learned now inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, at the end we must be sure that this is Allah's will which will be done no matter what the people do to prevent it. This is Allah's will which is done and people have no choice except to submit to it. True believers realize the power of Allah's will, and so they obey the commands and they try all the means, and finally they put all their trust in Allah the Almighty. Now we will recite one of the verses of the Holy Quran, which is a command for us to have the trust in Allah all the time. Surah number 33, verse number 3. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And put your trust in Allah. The sufficient is Allah as a wakil, trustee or disposer of affairs.
So actually, sister, this is a command from Allah the Almighty to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rely upon Allah the Almighty. This is a command to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to all the believers. What is the meaning of this command? The meaning is place all your concerns in Allah's hands, and Allah the All-Powerful will look after them in accordance with His knowledge and wisdom. Trusting in Allah alone is what gives us complete reassurance. It helps us to know our limitations and leave what lies beyond our ability to the one, the most merciful, who conducts and controls everything. Okay? When Allah the Almighty is giving to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this command, okay, to put his trust in Allah and to be sure that Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, sufficient is Allah as disposer of the affairs. This is the message of reassurance and peace which Allah is sending to every believer. Try your ability, okay, do your best, and then leave it to Allah the Almighty. Allah is sufficient. Okay, to take care of all the affairs of all the believers. Allah is the owner of everything. Allah is the controller of everything. Allah knows everything. Allah is the most merciful, and Allah is the all-powerful. Okay? So this is the message of mercy from Allah, the Almighty. Don't keep all the problems over your shoulder, okay? And all the time you feel upset, you feel lonely, you feel helpless, okay? And you cannot help yourself in life at all. You are actually feeling the feeling of depression, and you are actually not able, okay, to do your responsibilities because of the negative feeling in your spirit. When Allah is commanding us and telling us, I am sufficient for you, I will take care of everything, you have your own limitations, but I am the all-powerful. You know, this is the problem. Sometimes you look around and you try and you feel that my problem is beyond my limitations, because my problem is related to other people. You know, for example, my sister, my brother, whom I can't control, you know, their actions. So how can I solve my problem? It is out of my hand. Okay? So all the time be sure that Allah is the one who can take care of everything. So put all your concerns in Allah's hands. Allah can take care of all the human beings. Allah can change their point of view. Allah can make them busy with other issues other than you. Allah can make them to be merciful with you. Allah can change everything in a second up to His will. So long there is Allah, so long I am a true believer in Him, and He is commanding me, okay, to put my trust in Him, and He is sending to me the message, I am sufficient, I am sufficient. So let us all the time having this message from Allah clear in our minds and in our hearts. I can't change the universe. I can't do anything actually. I am just having my good intention in this life. Human being equal to good intentions and some actions. Okay, this is all. But to make something, to make a change, okay, to change the people, okay, this is only up to Allah the Almighty. So let us do our role and then have the full trust that inshallah Allah will interfere, and inshallah everything will end in the best end, okay, which maybe we can't understand or we cannot comprehend, but it is inshallah always for our benefit, so long we are obeying the commands of Allah. Inshallah, we will stop here and we will continue next week, and let us make the dua.